Welcome to Let's Talk Health, a community radio initiative of the Community Health and Social Services Network, CHSSN, funded by the McGill Human Resources Training and Development Project. Our show today is Nutrition and Obesity with guest Sarah Creighton-Weeb, dietitian. My name is Kelly Howarth, and I will be your host today. So I'll start by introducing Sarah. Sarah Creighton-Weeb has been a registered dietitian in Ontario and Quebec for 7 years, and she currently has a private practice in Knowlton and Eastern Townships, where she provides counseling on healthy eating, weight management, digestive disorders, and cardiovascular disease and diabetes. So welcome, Sarah. Thanks for being with us here today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great. We hear a lot about how obesity is on the rise. Can you speak more about this?
Yes, we only have to look around us to see that more and more people are struggling with being overweight. In fact, 31% of Canadians are obese, and that's a third of the population. Just to give you a statistic, in 2004, one in four Canadian children and adolescents who were aged 2 to 17 were overweight. And the obesity rate in children has increased dramatically in the last 15 years. And this is concerning since obese children tend to stay obese as adults.
It does. It sounds quite overwhelming statistics-wise. Yeah. Something like 2 to 10% in boys and 2 to 9% in girls, I think you've mentioned.
Yes.
We know that the health risks are on the rise and that being obese is obviously not a good thing. But can you touch on these for us?
Okay, well, some of the health risks with being overweight or obese are diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart disease, osteoarthritis, and certain cancers, to name a few. And diabetes is a big one, and that's one we're actually seeing more and more in kids. And the thing is, while these diseases have other risk factors associated with them that we can't change, like we can't change our family history, and if we have a family history of diabetes, that's a big risk factor for diabetes. We can't change that. And, of course, we can't change, although some of us would like to change our age, we can't. And as we age or as we get older, that increases our risk for heart disease. But we can do something about obesity.
Okay. And obesity is quite an issue today. So we hear so much about it in the news and various things about what we can do about it. So what do you think we can do about it?
Well, I'm here basically to talk about lifestyle changes that we can make. Obviously, I'm a dietitian, and that's what I do. And, of course, before we even get there, you have to make sure that there aren't other reasons, that your doctor has ruled out other reasons that might be contributing to obesity. For example, hypothyroidism. So you need to make sure that that's not something like that isn't there. And if it is, it needs to be corrected first. Also, there are many people that eat for emotional and psychological reasons, and this either needs to be dealt with before doing and making any dietary changes or at the same time. But at the most simplest level, obesity is a result of a long-term positive energy balance, and that means we're just basically taking in more than we need over the long term. And, of course, this is not something that has happened overnight, so it's not something that's going to change overnight. And I think that's the hard message for people. And that's why diets don't work. Many clients actually come to me after trying diet after diet, and they realize what it really is about is learning how to eat healthy and be more active over the long run. And it doesn't take weeks, it takes months.
Yes, tell us more about why diets don't work.
Well, you're restricting what you're eating. Your body eventually adjusts to this new calorie level, and it does this by slowing down the metabolism. Your body is trying to hold on to as many calories as it can. So when you can't stick to the diet anymore, which inevitably happens, you either go back to what you were eating before, or you may even be eating more so. And remember, your body has slowed down its metabolism, so it's trying to hold on to as much as it can. So you not only gain the weight that you lost, but you usually put on additional pounds. So diets don't work for that reason, but they also don't work because they're too restrictive and they're not personalized and people get tired of them.
So what does work then, Sarah?
Well, it's eating healthy and being active for life, and it's not taking these extremes of going on these strict diets. It's just taking the moderate route. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't like to hear that. And it takes time. So basically, it's following Canada's food guide. And a simple way to look at this is if you have a pen and paper handy, draw a circle on a piece of paper, okay? That's, we're drawing your dinner plate. If you draw the circle, this is your plate, and you divide the circle in two. And half your plate should be vegetables. So you mark vegetables down on half your plate, and then the other half should be divided into two quarters. One quarter would be your meat or your protein, and the other quarter your starch and grains. And that's how your plate should look. So half vegetables, quarter meat or protein, quarter starch or grains. And you see how you rate. I think most of us would put the meat where the vegetables are, as opposed to the vegetables as half the plate. But if you follow this guideline, you'll be eating more vegetables, and this actually falls in line with Canada's food guide, which is to eat 7 to 10 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. I think most people find it hard to even get one. And the reason why we want to eat more fruits and vegetables is that they're high in fiber. And fiber has a lot of benefits, including helping with bowel regularity, lowering blood cholesterol, lowering your blood sugar for those of you with diabetes, and it helps us feel fuller longer, so that's great for weight management. And just by having more fruits and vegetables, you're automatically going to be displacing what you might otherwise be eating, like that 16-ounce steak or the two baked potatoes with sour cream and butter. And in terms of the fruits and vegetables, go for the dark green, the darker the better, dark green, orange, and red fruits and vegetables, because they're higher in vitamins and minerals and disease-fighting antioxidants.
So more fruits and vegetables, huh? What else?
We need to also watch the portion sizes of meat and our starch or grain products, and we've kind of already addressed that with the space on your plate, just watching the portion sizes. But for those of you who like numbers, for weight loss, I recommend 1 to 3 servings of grain products at each meal, depending on the person. So this means 1 to 3 slices of bread or 1 to 1.5 cups of cooked rice or pasta. And to try and make it brown when you can to get more fiber. So brown rice, brown whole wheat is best. And in Canada's Food Guide, we talk about meat and alternatives. Alternatives include things like kidney beans, chickpeas, lentils, nuts, and tofu. And to try and have the vegetable sources, these alternatives, more often. They're high in fiber in terms of the legumes, and they're lower in fat. And keep your serving of meat to about the size of a deck of cards.
Okay, the size of a deck of cards or a quarter of your plate, as you said.
Or a quarter of your plate, yeah.
I've also heard that you could use your fist, right, or the palm of your hand. That's
yeah,
it.
I mean, of course, it depends on how big your hand is.
Okay.
Kind of moved away from the palm of the hand because some people have pretty big hands. So
okay. Say
like this deck of cards or a quarter of your plate. And I have fish more often. Many people don't have fish that often. 2 times a week is what's recommended.
Okay, so tell us about milk and alternatives.
Okay, so that's the last group. So there are 4 food groups. You have the fruits and vegetables, you have the grains and grain products, and then you have milk and alternatives, and then meat and alternatives. So the milk. Milk has really gotten a bad rap. In fact, recently a client of mine told me that her friend told her not to drink milk because adults don't need it and it's high in sugar. Well, I'm here to say that both of those statements are untrue. Milk does have sugar, but so do grain products and fruits, and to a small extent, vegetables. And we actually do need sugar. Sugar or glucose in our blood is what our brain uses for energy. So adults do need milk, up to 2 cups a day. And milk fits, again, into this milk and alternatives group in the food guide. Instead of milk, you could also have a yogurt cup or a slice of low-fat cheese or fortified soy beverage. They all fit within that group.
Some of our listeners are interested in how nutrition affects brain function. You just alluded to this now, Sarah. Can you expand on this topic a little bit?
Yeah, as I said before, your brain needs a continuous supply of fuel in the form of glucose in your bloodstream or sugar. And this sugar comes from regular meals that have carbohydrates in them. Carbohydrates are basically, again, sugar. And you find that the foods that break down into sugar in our body are found in fruits. Some a little bit in vegetables, legumes, and grain foods. And the best thing you can do is eat regular meals throughout the day, and this includes breakfast too. And that's the best thing you can do with keeping alert and keeping your brain functioning properly. There are other foods that are being studied for their possible involvement with improving short-term memory, and these include blueberries, strawberries, dry plums, and fatty fish like salmon. But even if, you know, it turns out that they don't help with short-term memory, they are good for you anyway, so you can't go wrong with eating those.
So getting back to our topic, nutrition plays a key role in managing obesity. What about exercise?
Yeah, the Canadian Clinical Practice Guidelines on obesity recommends 30 minutes a day of moderate intensity, and then increasing this, when appropriate, to 60 minutes a day. But in reality, what I do when I see someone, I try to work with where that person is coming from. That could be overwhelming for a lot of people. So sometimes it's about even just starting 10 minutes a day, two times a day, so spreading it out. And, of course, it's also best, if you can, to get advice from an exercise health professional like a kinesiologist who can really tailor exercise to your individual needs and capabilities. Some people are a lot more challenged because they have severe arthritis or they're in a wheelchair and they think, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can do. But there actually are some exercises that you can do, even just with your arms, just getting moving. And you can even be helped with kind of getting to the next level. If you can't walk right now, there might be things that you can do to get you to that level. And there are other little tricks in the absence of that, like if you can't access a health professional, an exercise health professional, there are some tricks that you can do as well to help you get more active. Just to try marking it down on your calendar when you're going to do a certain activity. Choose an activity you enjoy and that you know you'll stick with, like square dancing, or there are all kinds of new things. Hip hop's out there now, that's big. And do it with a friend, or if you've got a dog, or, you know, walk the dog. Take the initiative and find out also what your community is offering. There's a lot more out there than you might think. And sometimes, like I said before, your life situation isn't very conducive to what you really want to be doing. Another thing is you may be tied down at the home with your kids. And I said this before, you might have severe arthritis or what have you, but there's always a solution. So don't give up. There's always something you can be doing.
Sarah, what about eating out of habit or mindless eating?
Well, one thing I do with my clients to help them be in touch with how they're eating and what they're eating is to have them keep a journal, just basically writing down what they eat every day. And this just helps them to keep on track. I give them sheets and they fill in the foods, and then they bring those sheets back to the next appointment. And this helps us to pay attention to mindless eating. And I'm actually quoting this phrase from a book called Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think. It was written by Brian Wansink, professor at Cornell University. And this book suggests that many of the choices that we make about how much and what we eat are made without conscious thought and are influenced by hidden cues and the atmosphere in which we eat. And it's these hidden cues that cause us to overeat. For example, simply seeing a food, like if we've got a plate of chocolate chip cookies on the counter, I mean, if they're just sitting there, I mean, it's common sense. We're probably going to dip into them. But there was a study that was done where a group of secretaries had a jar of candies at their station. And one group of secretaries, their jar of candy was clear, so they could see the candies. And the other group of secretaries, the jar was white, so they couldn't see them. And it was the secretaries with the clear jars on their desk reached into the jar for the candy 71% more often than those with the white jars.
Mm.
So that was interesting. It really is true.
Very interesting. So then how can we deal with these environmental or situational cues?
I think it's just becoming more aware of what some of these cues are. A lot of it, like I said, is common sense, you know, storing tempting foods in less convenient locations. I try to put the cookies in the freezer so we don't see them. Avoid dim light while eating a meal. Apparently, when the light's dim, we tend to eat more. If you're going to be watching TV while you eat, which I strongly don't recommend, but if you are, pre-serve your portion before watching the TV. place tempting foods in opaque containers, so containers that you can't see through. Never eat from a package. Always transfer the food to a plate or a bowl. And another interesting one I saw, it surprised me, was, I've never heard of this, is replace short, wide glasses with tall, narrow ones. For some reason, we tend to drink more from the short, wide glasses, even though they contain just as much as the tall, narrow ones. And so these are common sense suggestions, but often we do these things without even thinking about it.
So you've given our listeners some very valuable information here, Sarah, and you've made reference to Canada's Food Guide. What other helpful resources are available on the web or in print?
Well, I actually have a website. It's at www.scwnutrition, all one word, .ca. And if you go to the links section, I have a link to Health Canada. There's Dietitians of Canada, the Heart and Stroke Foundation, among others. There are lots of helpful resources out there.
Wonderful. Sarah, thank you for talking to us today about nutrition and obesity and why it is important to eat mindfully. We hope that you, our listeners, have learned more about this topic. I'm Kelly Howarth, your host for Let's Talk Health. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.